Hey everyone, my name is Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circuit Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus, our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast. How are we doing tonight, fam? We doing good? Thank you so much, Timmy. How's the upstairs doing? How's the back cavernous area back there? Are we doing all right back there? I felt that was like, you're crying for help. Are you okay? I felt it was like, yes, we're okay. How's this side doing over here tonight? All right, a lot of love over here. How about over here? Okay, wait, you gotta come for me, Flora. I mean, this is like where the most excited people are supposed to sit. How's the floor doing tonight? Yeah! All right. We ready to get in the Word? Let me pray. Jesus, we love you in this place. God, we pray, open our eyes to your Word. Open our eyes to your reality. Help us see you rightly. Jesus, I pray your love would come crashing in on this place. As we open your word together tonight, we pray we would leave never the same in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, what I'm so excited about on these Mondays and this fall is we're kicking off a new series. And we want to talk about becoming a passionate Jesus follower. Becoming a passionate Jesus follower. Now, there's a few reasons I want to talk about this, but number one, it's because there is nothing more exciting in life than when you are consumed by passion. I don't know if you have any things in your life that, like, even if it's hard, you are so passionate about it, it's like time just kind of disappears. It was 2 o'clock, now you look up, it was 7, you skip dinner because you were so laser focused in your passion, time stood still. See, there's something so powerful when you have a relationship with God where you're not checking the box, you're not just trying to figure out how to get things and trying to figure out how to live to the bare minimum, but that you're consumed with passion where God moves beyond a checklist and the right thing to do, but it becomes a reality where time stands still and you can't wait to get even more time with him. Number two is passion is a sign of authenticity. See, I think one of the biggest things this generation needs is it needs passionate Jesus followers because real passion is contagious. When you see passion, it gives you a clue that whatever they're into, they're really into it. Have you ever met a monotone person before? Are you a monotone person? I just was with someone the other day and they were describing their love for the outdoors. And they were talking like this. Yeah, you know, the outdoors, it's something I enjoy. I enjoy it. I walk in it. I look at it. I like being outside. I went to the national park. I was outside. Did I tell you that? Yeah, you're like, bro, I'm so unconvinced. I feel zero called to the outdoors after you said that. In fact, I want to stay away from national parks. In fact, I'm going to stay inside for a month. Like, that is how much, right? And so there's something that when you come into a space like this that's all about worshiping Jesus and putting Jesus at the center, you want to walk into a place like this and meet passion. Because I think where it gets kind of weird in Christianity is where you meet truth without passion. I think this is a little bit kind of what the scriptures is getting at, that religion is like the truth without power. It's like we're all saying the right thing, but it's like something is missing from the room. There's like the life is gone from the room. You ever met someone who's in a relationship but is trying to figure out how to get out of it? Only me? All right. Someone is like nervously laughing right here. No, we're still dating. And like you're talking to them and you're like, I don't think that you like this person anymore, but they like are too afraid to break up. So they just like kind of keep courtesy dating, right? Like, here, I'll give you just, this is not in the sermon. This is just for free. case you're in the circumstances, avoiding of eye contact, good sign. They're probably not into you. Super delayed texts, delayed calls, checking their phone, saying that they're busy with their friends every single day and night. They're at work at 11 p.m. All these things are signs. And so what can happen is you can come into a Christian space and someone who's exploring faith, which I hope there's many people in this place that are still exploring faith and wondering if Jesus is the reason they're created. As you come into a space like this and you're like, hey, dude, you love God?
Yeah, man. We love him.
Dude, how was that worship? That was insane. Yeah, it was good. You seem real passionate about what you were singing.
Jesus.
It's like a tender, maybe like movie type scene. Like maybe that's your vibe. And all of a sudden you're like, dude, what's your, like, what about the scriptures? And you're like, yeah, I got a Bible. I got one at home. It's my grandma's. And then you kind of leave and you're like, you want to go to the community? Oh, I never go to the community. Hey, what's your discipleship look like? Oh, yeah, dude, I've been meaning to plug in for like, oh, so long. I would love to get plugged in. You got any like older leaders in your life that like you're just excited to be with and just glean from them and learn from them? Oh, bro, that's a great idea. I've never thought about that. And all of a sudden something begins to break down where it's kind of like there's this divide between what we say is the reason for our life, but then how we truly act. This fall, I want all of us to fall madly in love with Jesus. This fall, my dream for this room, my dream for myself is that my passion in life would go through the roof, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge, but it would make that 18-inch journey from the head to the heart. And that really is the journey of Christianity, where it's not head knowledge, it becomes heart knowledge. Today, my wife texted me. She's so good with dates, man. She didn't even make me in trouble, but I didn't know this. She goes, you asked me out 7 years ago. And I was like, girls' memories are frightening. I'm like, what do you know that I've done that I don't remember I did anymore? And before that, we had been friends for 7 years. So we have known each other for 14 years, and I've been in a relationship with her as long as I knew her as friends now. It's like so cool. But if you were like, Nick, what do you love about Emily? And I was like, well, she's a woman. She's my wife. And we love each other so much. We're raising a family together. You would be like, dude, get a marriage counselor. Get off the stage. Please leave Monday nights. Someone get them a gift card to Nobu. Somebody bring some flowers over there. Teach this man how to buy some jewelry, because he's missing a passion. And when you love something, it overflows from your life. And we all have areas of passion. I mean people who are passionate about the most obscure things, and it overflows for hours. I have a friend, they are obsessed with Star Wars. And they start giving me the history. Like, did you know that Nobu was formed with the stardust of this other? And you're like, dude, get a job. Like, don't, what is going on? But all of us, can you imagine? This is what a generation is waiting for, where it's not, I'm into Jesus because it's trendy. I'm into Jesus because I'm looking for him to kind of fix my life, but I don't know if I want to go all in. I'm in for Jesus because I know it's the right thing to. I'm in for Jesus, and whatever that guy is doing, whoever he is, that's real in his life. I love this phrase, the proof of God. I want my passion to be an apologetic, the proof that God exists. The proof that Jesus is who he says that he is. Now the issue with passion is this, you can't fake it. You can temporarily fake passion. That's called hype. And hype is like the external environment pressing on you makes you excited temporarily, but true passion comes from within. And I think that part of what
Jesus trying to lead us away from is sometimes in our Christian environments, we attach all these great phrases and we know all these kind of kitschy phrases like God always has a plan. He's always right on time. He loves you so much. He always forgives you. Prodigal, come on home. But there's no more emotion attached to that. There's no reality attached to that. It might as well be like a Hallmark little line in the card because it's lost its meaning to our heart. And then what happens is it kind of moves. We start kind of getting into all these saying things that are now disconnected from our heart. And then our kind of Christianity becomes like event to event. So Sunday to Sunday, Monday to Monday, Wednesday to Wednesday, life group on Thursday to Thursday. And it's kind of like you go and you meet with Jesus. You get supercharged. Or at least microcharged, and then you leave, it's like a gradual fade until you're back together with him again. Keith Green, he was a famous musician, and he was also famous for giving the most craziest straight talk messages in his concerts. And one of his famous sermons was this. He goes, he had a song about visiting Jesus in prison every Sunday. And that everyone in the audience kept Jesus in the four walls of the church. And they would go visit him on Monday and then walk out of the building and kind of wave, see you later. I'll see you next week. See, Jesus doesn't want us to live from an event to event type of Christianity, an up and down Christianity where our life is falling apart and we come back to God and life is under attack and now we finally read our Bible and something bad is happening in our family and now we decide to pray. No, Jesus is inviting us to something so much deeper than that, which is a rich and vibrant daily experience with him. This fall, I want you to be so consumed with the love of Jesus in your heart that it becomes a daily enriching experience. It's not a to-do for 7 to 7:15. It's an all-day communing with the living God. It's an all-day conversation with the living God. It's an all-day download of living in the slipstream of his spirit. And the way you test passion is, what do you do in difficulty? Right, because hype will carry you until it's hard. And that's where you can kind of see who was in it for hype and who was in it for passion. The passionate person, when they hit an obstacle, they keep going. The person who's driven by hype, once it gets difficult, they're out. That's why we have friends, and you may have friends, that they are interested in Jesus. They may even call themselves a Jesus follower. But as soon as things hit the fan in their life, they draw back from God. Whereas another person says, Jesus is the center of my life, everything hits the fan, and they lean into God even more. Now, I do this. I don't know if you can relate to this. I think there are some things in my life. See, the frustration is what do you do when your passion isn't real? You ever tried to like will more passion? It's trying to, you ever tried to like someone? Have you ever done that before? Like it could work. It could, you kind of like look at them crooked. You're like, well, kind of attracted like this. Right, everyone has, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We all do these things. I don't know what you're looking for, but I think we can all relate to like so close yet so far. And I think this is the problem is sometimes we know the answer is Jesus. We're just not sure how to like stir up the right answer in our heart. And so I live kind of from like this guilt mindset. I try to do more things. This happens to me with the gym all the time. I forget like my love for the gym, because there was no love to start off with. It's kind of like that girlfriend. I'm like, oh yeah, like that looks amazing. Man, that's commercial. I'm gonna go Chuck Norris mode this fall. I'm gonna get cut, man. This is gonna be epic. Then I go, and I don't know if you do this, I go way overkill the first time. Anyone, you get so much guilt that you just go overkill, right? Like you're like, I haven't prayed in 2 weeks. I'm gonna pray all day in my closet. You're like in there for 2 minutes. You're like, Jesus. Whew. Whoa, yeah, this has been good, God. You know, All right. Amen. God, that was really good. You're like, I haven't read the Bible in like 6 months. I'm going to plow through Genesis. Major mistake. Start with like Matthew, not Genesis, right? And you're like, whoa, you get to the lineage and you're like, and this guy begat this guy and this guy begat this guy. And you're like, man, dude, I'm going to save it for my pastor. I'm out. And what happens for me is like, I'll go crazy at the gym. This is a true story. I went to like this HIIT class, like where you do like these super intense workouts. And I thought it looked fun. Mark Wahlberg was in an advertisement for him. I'm like, he's jacked. This must lead to something good, I'm sure. So I go to it, 15 minutes in, I knew this was a major mistake. But it was like group pressure. I couldn't quit. I got too much ego. And everyone's like, keep going. And there's like old people in there just kicking my butt. So I'm just like, you can't outdo me. Like I'm just grabbing heavier medicine balls, heavier bicep things that I can do. Just like, yeah, loving this. Like completely lying, dying inside, just lying to everyone that I'm having a good time. The next morning I wake up and I got dino arms. How many of you had this experience where you work out so hard, you can't fully extend your arms? So just all day, it just looks like I'm praying. Just like, Lord. And then it starts, right? My negotiation to quit begins right there. All the advertising that was hyping me up begins to fade so quick. And I'm like, well, I got dino arms. I better take a day break. I probably should take 3 days. You know what? Rest is a part of building muscles. 7 days, and I'll just go next. We'll just start once a week. That's great. Then once a week goes on, you're like, the morning class was maybe a bad time. I wasn't at my peak. Let me hit 5:30. And then I'm at 4 o'clock. I'm so tired from my day. And I'm like, you know what? I'll walk home from work today. I'll walk a little extra. And you know what? I'll cancel. I'll move this till tomorrow. I'll do this to tomorrow. And I heard someone say this weekend. They said that a lot of us don't realize we're quitting. We just think we're pausing. And so we kind of pause. But we don't realize that the pause is really a quit. We don't realize I'm all finished right now. And I think a lot of us, this is what our relationship with God looks like. And we don't know how to open up. We don't know how to get vulnerable. We don't know what to say, what's really going on. And we kind of all come in here and pretend that like we just grew up like homeschooled angelic creatures who have never lived real life. Like where do you go like in the prayer line and just say what really went on in the week? Hey, just so you know, like I wanted to smoke weed every single night this week. Can you pray for me? God's like so quiet. Yeah, I'm looking at stuff I shouldn't look at all the time, and it's draining my soul. I'm so lonely, I have no friends, and I'm 22 years old, and I don't know how to make a friend. I got $18,000 of credit card debt. I just saw a Dave Ramsey episode, and I realize I'm in the abyss of finances. And so we settle because we don't know how to be authentic. We don't know what to do. We don't know just to say that. We don't know that's okay. We don't know that that's where Jesus wants to meet us. And so we come to church and we live event to event and we say these catchy phrases and all these cliches and we come to the prayer line and like, right, like, have you ever done this at the prayer line? Like a really incognito kind of like request for prayer. So this is my favorite one. What's going on, man? How can I pray you? The ways of the world are just beating me down, brother. What does that mean? The ways of the world, like killing people, or are we talking about gossip? Like, what are we, like, what is the ways of the world? And if I press a little bit more, it's like, no, go a little deeper. Like, what's really going on? Well, you know, man, it's tough. The world is tough. It's an intense place. The devil, man, he hates us. The enemy hates us. And I'm like, so true. What did you do this week? Just let's start with scale 1 to 10. What really went on? See, if we're gonna have a passionate relationship with Jesus, we need to understand what Jesus is like. We need to understand who he likes to be around. He likes to be around broken people. He likes to be around people who don't have it all together. In fact, the scriptures tell us that the entrance into Christianity is what the Bible calls being poor in spirit, knowing that you need him. And so what happens is we come to church and we go, oh, I don't need Jesus. I'm a Christian. Amen, brother. Like, I sing things in these worship songs that I love, but I don't always know what it means. I don't. I just gotta be honest. I've never thought about that. I've never thought about using my hair to wipe your feet, Jesus. Like, I don't know what, I know that that's what Mary did, but I've never, like, thought of doing that in this culture or this setting. And now I'm feeling bad. I'm like, man, I'm not even a Christian. I'm not even on fire for God. And then just like when I'm worshiping crazy, right? Like, God, I love you so much. That's really how bad it is, my singing. But, and I'm over there, right? Then you look at some other guy, and he's just going to war over there. You're like, not even a Christian. Then you get to the word, and you're kind of offended. You're like, man, there's like four announcements. Why do you even have that thought? Possessed. Then you get to the sermon, and you know he's saying is true, but you're just like, just trying to meet you, Nick. Amen. So good. Oh, Jim, that's a nice analogy. Yeah, I hate the gym too. Like, you're just trying. But see, where passion gets stirred up is, number one, we gotta be real. We have to be authentic. There's no chance of passion if we're not real. There's no chance of passion if we don't come to these places and just go, you know what? Anyone faking they have it all together doesn't have it all together. Like, I want to write my own, like, little proverb. Woe to you who trust the person whose life is perfect. You know, like it's just, how's everything going? Everything is amazing, my brother, because the Lord is seated on the throne. He is, but I've been to your house, and it is not amazing. Like, and so it starts with that authenticity. Number two is you have to see Jesus rightly. You have to be open your life in real authenticity and vulnerability to Jesus. But number two, you need to see him rightly. I want to look at this. This is what Jesus tells us, his own words in John 14. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. See, what you need to realize is that in your life, you have been created with intention. You have been created with a design. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Everyone in here has been made in the image of God. Meaning God has designed all of us the same. And then he took even more detail. He formed us in our mother's womb as a special gift to the world. With our own unique personality, our own unique experiences, and our own unique way that we would experience this life. And see, what you need to realize is that when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, what he is saying is you were made for me. See, before sin, what are we called to do? What was happening before sin? We were in perfect relationship with God. That was our first defining attribute of our existence. We walked in relationship with him every day. We reflected living out his values, his purpose. We led alongside him. Isn't that crazy that before sin, God was giving us assignments to do with him? Your partner in the study group was God. Your partner in life for what you were working on, the vision of your life, was God. And we related to each other with no brokenness and no barriers. See, what Jesus is wanting to tell all of us is that when you see his way as more beautiful, as more attractive, as more true than any other thing in life, you will get passion for it. You will get passion for it. Now here's the thing. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, let's break that down. Like, what does that mean practically? Number one, that Jesus has a way, a lifestyle, a philosophy of living, right? Modeled after him. He has truths, convictions, and immovable principles rooted in himself. And he has the life, the promise of being fully alive with him. But here's the problem of what we experience every single day. I am not the only preacher in your life. Your pastor on Sunday is not the only preacher in your life. Whoever your life group leader is or small group leader is not the only pastor in your life. The podcast you listen to is not the only pastor in your life. All of life is preaching to you. And guess what it is saying? Follow my way of living. Follow my truths, and I will lead you to life. See, the issue with becoming madly in love with Jesus and growing in passion is it has to do with what you desire most. Whatever you love the most, you will have passion for. And you need to understand that the world is competing for your love. Every single day, we walk into a culture, every Instagram post, every brand, every company, every platform, every business in your community, every influencer, every talking head, every podcast is vying with you saying, guess what? I have the way, I have the truth, and I have the life. And the reason why our life feels disfigured and we move from event to event to event of ups and downs and up to downs and away from God and close to God and far from God and in for God and all in and unsurrendered and running away and prodigals back and the reason our Bible is here and now it's gone, and now we lost it, now it's there, now we pray, now we don't pray, now we pray before dinner, now we pray after dinner, now we'll pray next year, now we'll pray actually right now. The reason we come and we worship and we sing this song and we don't sing the song, we mumble the song, we don't sing the song, we disengage, we leave early, is because the real truth underneath all of it, beneath the fear of man, beneath the insecurity, is there's a competing love in your life. Whatever you love the most, you will have passion for. But if you were made with design and you are not functioning in that design, what is going to happen? You ever seen someone lean back on a plastic chair? You ever done that? You ever been warned not to do it and did it anyway? When emo rebel mode? Oh yeah, I'm gonna do it. It's like life on the edge for me. Just for some reason, as soon as I get on that plastic chair, I just feel tempted to start leaning back. And the bending of the legs, then all of a sudden, it snaps. This is what happens when we live a life out of alignment with God. This is what happens when we have competing masters in our life. I mean, just very briefly, can I just give you some of the biggest, top of the mind, biggest things competing and preaching to you every single day? Number one, it's been the decrease of religion and the increase of people just kind of making up their own religion is so prevalent in our culture. Do whatever feels right today. No one can tell you how to live. That's the way. Their truth, all religions are basically the same. Just pick one or none. The life, if I don't have rules, I'll finally be free. Dude, this is like every Instagram post. What is a 9-to-5? I burned my life down. Now I'm in Bali, making 10K a month. Follow the journey. When they're making 10K on month of how they moved to Bali and don't know still how to start a business, but their business is selling you the promise that one day you could move to Bali. So now you move to Bali. And what's gonna happen when Bali gets full of so many influencers? There's no one willing to pay for the course. I don't know, it's gonna be a crisis. We need to pray. Number two, this idea of postmodernism. We kind of live in this post-truth era where everything is relative. Make your own path. Follow your feelings. There's no real truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And as long as my truth isn't hurting you, it's totally great to hold for me. If I just stay true to myself, I will be happy. It seems like we have a whole nation of people trying to be true to themselves, and they're unhappy. Seems like we have a whole generation trying to be true to themselves, yet with record anxiety. The way I feel like eroding trust in institutions is so big. Don't count on leaders. They'll always fail. Just do your own thing. Authority is fake. People in charge are just corrupt. If I trust no one, I can't be hurt. I felt these things. The next pastor who falls, forget it, man. The church, what are we doing around here? In fact, what's that guy at Monday nights doing, Nick, right now? Where is he? Oh, he's at Del Taco. He's fine. Right, another politician exposed that they were lying just to get your vote. Another person embezzled the money. Another business underdelivered. It's like everywhere we turn, the institutions we were supposed to trust the most, now there's all this doubt sown into it. Social media, man, it's teaching us a crazy thing. I think that we will look back in 100 years and go, I think social media might have been one of the worst possible things for humankind. And I say that as someone who actively makes stuff for social media. It's exactly the problem. Stay online, post nonstop, keep your streak alive. That's the way. The truth, if I'm not moving fast, I'm falling behind. My worth equals likes, views, followers. My worth is attention. The life, attention now will make me feel alive, but for only like 10 minutes. What about this? We live in a culture that's like hypersexual. Like if you're just trying to live pure, trying to live right, trying to have eyes for one girl, one guy, everything in our culture is fighting for that not to be the reality. TikTok, it's like funny, whoa, all right. Instagram, whoa, that's amazing. Oh, love that. Oh, family, whoa, oh my goodness. Ads are unhinged. Netflix is basically, what even is it anymore? Every show is like 900 F-bombs. So many crazy scenes. You're like, oh my word, I'm scarred for life. Even Disney Plus isn't safe anymore. How sad is that? And it gets crazier that, like, I'm keeping it PG. Let's just go a little bit further. Because we all know about it. Then you got OnlyFans. Then you have, like, free porn basically everywhere. Now we have all this AI stuff coming out. Chat rooms, Grindr, Tinder, hookup culture. Certain clubs, you know, if you go to, something might happen. That crazy friend who's dysfunctional, and you know that if you go on a number of dates, something dysfunctional is going to happen. It's everywhere. The way, show more, scroll more, hook up, explore every desire. The truth, their doctrine, your sex is your identity. Your gender is your identity. If I feel it, it must be who I am. The life, if I just get the experience, I'll feel loved. What about this, the erosion of family? I think in the attempt, and I don't want to shame anyone, if this is your experience, you're not shamed, you're welcome. Like, join the club. We all got an area of brokenness in the room, but I think it's okay to talk about that life is painful sometimes with family. The number of people that come from broken or divorced homes, complicated family situations. The way, don't depend on family, they'll just let you down. Make your own version. The truth, family isn't safe, so just create your own rules. The life, if I avoid commitment, I won't get hurt. But see, what they're not telling you is that there's a result for all those beliefs. They're promising you one thing, but they're not delivering fully on the promise. See, the way that your passion grows is you see Jesus rightly and you see the world for what it is. See, when I see a young man and I'm discipling him, and he won't give up substances that are ruining his life, is I know he has not truly seen the true face of his substance abuse. He's still seeing the angel of light. He hasn't seen the dark face behind the light. He hasn't really seen the sinister intentions. He hasn't seen that's been sent for his destruction. And so he's caught between the love of the world and the love for God. And this is so flashy and this is kind of dull and secular music's just so good and like worship, you know, it is good. But, you know, but like this like hypes me up. Like Coachella is insane. And the prayer room is like dope. Like I love to lace up your boots. I feel that, you know, rock and roll energy moment. And we're torn between this and that and this and that. And this is the reality. Matthew 6:24, this is what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. But put money, put anything else in there. You cannot serve God and sex. You cannot serve God's truth and your own truth. You cannot serve God's future for you and keeping your future as the backup plan. You cannot keep the dysfunctional relationship and come. God, this is what happens. I'm telling you, every single time I've seen this play out in life, someone always wins. That is what Jesus is getting after. You can toe the line for a season, but eventually somebody will win. There are never experiences where you keep your wife and the side chick. There are never circumstances where you keep your husband and the other man. Eventually, somebody's gonna see. Somebody's gonna come calling. And here's the terrible thing, is in that moment of brokenness, you will feel the fracture. See, what God is trying to get at with us is it's not just about, oh, I want to be passionate. I want to be like, whoa, God, whoa, crazy. God is everywhere. Like, yeah, yes, yes. Like, I'm down. Like, yes, that passion. But I want the passion to be deeper. I want it to have a way. I want it to have a truth. I want it to have a life. Do you know your way? You have one. If I followed you around, what is your way? Do you know your truth? Do you know the life, your vision for life, your belief of what will fulfill you? I can tell you how you can find out. Your actions will tell me. What you may not be able to articulate, your actions can. And so all of us need to understand that there's this war going on inside of us. So the scriptures call the flesh versus the spirit. The desires of the world and the desires of God. See, Jesus is passionate because he wants you to build your life on the rock. And when you build your life on sand, what he tells us in the scriptures is that the floodwaters of life are going to come and the winds are going to blow and beat against your house, and the crash that it's going to take, the fall that you're going to experience will be great. See, one of the greatest ways you can know you're not building your life on the truth or on the way or on the life is internally you have areas caving in. See, I think a lot of us, I think some of us, like we build part of our house on the rock. But we build another part of our house on the sand. And then we're kind of deciding, should I keep building over there or should I keep building over here? And then we're like, you know what? I did this Jesus thing. Forget it. It doesn't even work. No. It does work. What didn't work was your mixed version of Christianity. See, if we're going to become passionate Jesus followers, what Jesus are you serving? The Jesus of your culture, the Jesus of TikTok, the Jesus of Instagram, the Jesus of X, the Jesus of your favorite preacher, the Jesus of the podcast, the Jesus of the book you read, or the Jesus of the book. But if you're not in the book, then how can you know Jesus? And how easy is it for you to be seated with Jesus? Some of you don't even know the Gospels at all. You've never read them. And I could just be lying to you right now. Matthew 5, verses 22. Give me cash. The Lord says, give me cash. And you're like, yes, Pastor. And if I go long enough and passionate enough, you will believe that Jesus says, give me cash. And here's the crazy part. You won't even go home and even ask ChatGPT, is Matthew 5:22, give Nick Brent cash? It is, by the way. I'm not asking, I'm just kidding. And so do you see that falling in love with Jesus takes more of the hype of everyone else's passion around you? It takes a decision of the will to go, I'm going to build my way of life on Jesus. I am going to build my way of life on his truth. I'm going to build my life on the life that he offers me. And dude, building things is intense. I just bought something for IKEA. It's sitting in my hall still. I'm just looking at it, knowing that once I start, it's like 5 hours, two stubbed toes, put in the wrong screw, one testing from God, and one attack of the devil. All of it is coming for me. As soon as I start putting together that stupid IKEA thing, that's the only thing I could afford. But I feel like sometimes we give the most unimportant things the most intention in our life. And my caution for this room and my passion for you is, dude, don't build the aesthetics of your life with intention. Don't build the vibe of your life with intention. Don't be so worried about what you're gonna do this weekend and what your life is gonna look this year, if you're gonna have fun or if you're gonna get to do all the experiences. What I want you to see is that when you build your life with attention to detail and intention on the rock, the winds and the waves will come, and they will come. You weren't expecting that family member to get the disease. You weren't expecting that car accident. You weren't expecting the difficult financial downturn. You weren't expecting to be fired from your job, but the winds and waves of life hit you, but something inside is a rock. I'm not built for, that's all right. It's the world, it's passing away. I got Jesus still. He's my provider, he'll help me. He's my leader, he's never let me down yet. He'll show me the next place. And it's not the right answer, it's a real reality in your heart that you have built your life. You have mined the scriptures. You got up in the morning and read this thing. You went to bed at night and read it again. You came to Monday night hungry with your notebook open saying, you know what, I'm not just gonna write this down. I'm gonna think about it this week. I'm gonna meditate on it. I'm gonna fill my mind with the truth of scripture. Worship, I'm not just gonna worship when I feel like it and when the build kicks my emotions and say, go all in. I'm gonna worship authentically from the very first moment because I'm not worshiping with my feelings. I'm worshiping from a place of truth because this is how I live and this is what I believe. And when I do this, it equals life. Augustine tells us that the essence of sin is disordered love. You love the right thing in the wrong order, or you love the wrong thing altogether. Some of us, we're putting a good thing, but it's not God above God. Your career, it's amazing. God's designed you for a mission, but not above God. You're so obsessed with being in a relationship, but I'm telling you, God has to come first. You want to amass finances. I love it. That's Proverbs. That's wisdom. Amass your finances, but amass heavenly wealth more. Amass things that will never fade. See, I think why we keep getting sucked in and why there's a wrestle over and over again is the world's marketing strategy for its way of life is just flashy. John talks about it. Because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in 1 John 2. The lust of the flesh says, follow every desire, pleasure defines you. Lust of the eyes, what you see is what you need. Appearances matter. The pride of life, your worth is in what you achieve and display. But regardless of the specific lie, the enemy always appeals to these desires. Every world system, everything that is opposed to Jesus is pulling at this instant gratification side of life. It's gonna feel good. You know you want it. Well, you're gonna feel finally free. Or you're gonna finally feel good about yourself. Yeah, just kind of fully run into that. So there's something kind of like truth in my heart. Like when it says like throw off like every rule, all truth, your truth is your truth and you'll finally be free. I gotta be honest. There's been some moments where there's been a very good articulator of that worldview on a podcast. And I gotta say, something in my heart kind of said, maybe that's true. Maybe there is kind of a freedom in just kind of throwing it all off. I wouldn't have to worry about if I'm doing anything wrong. I wouldn't have to worry about my brokenness. I could just say, I'm not broken. Everything I do is good. Why? Because that's how I feel. There's kind of a freedom in that. That looks kind of exciting. Maybe he's saying that's like the secret to wealth. Maybe that's what I need to do if I really want to get wealthy. I got to be single focused. So yeah, then I can get rid of all like my serving other people. I can just serve myself and liberate myself. And now there's like all this healing culture language and all this like psychology, like babble that's all about just over focus on self. And it's like so appealing. Yeah, put yourself forward. Cut everybody off that's broken in your life. And then there's a wisdom kind of in that, but there's also like, but aren't you broken too? And like, do you want others like just to cut you off? Like there's like truly dysfunctional people and then there's just like people. But there's something appealing in all that. There's something appealing about pornography. I'm gonna get excited. I'm gonna be pleased. I'm gonna feel high. I don't have to put any of the hard work of relationship. I don't have to risk being rejected. I don't have to deal with my insecurities. I don't need to deal with my worth issues. I don't need to deal with the pain in my life. I don't need to look at the root of why I'm actually angry and what I'm covering up. I don't need to look at why I'm lonely. I don't need to look at my disappointments. I can just click a website and be free. I don't need to fill tonight. I'm just gonna doom scroll, man. Oh man, this is crazy. Like this is like the most, whoa. Like, okay, crazy. Seen that one, watched it again. The cop, yeah, okay. Oh yeah, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. An hour later, you just feel icky. You can't describe it. Something's off with your brain. You feel weird. Your dopamine's out of mix. You can't sleep. You're looking at the ceiling. Now your mind is spiraling out of control. That was the easiest thing. It's harder just to sit there and be present and talk to the person across from you. It's hard to like actually get curious and like think of good questions that could lead to life. It's hard to listen when I could just be distracted. Like, oh man, like why go out with friends? I'm so tired. I'm just gonna binge Netflix tonight. But you watch the show and you kind of left like empty. See, what we need to realize about the world is that it is going to deliver. It will deliver on its process. It will deliver on its promise, but it's gonna deliver a bonus that you weren't expecting. The pornography is gonna give a high, but it's gonna deliver something else. It will deliver, but it also is going to destroy. You'll get what you ask for, the pleasure, the attention, the status, but what you don't see coming is the dysfunction, the emptiness, and the slavery. You don't see it's the deal with the devil. You get the fame, but you lose your soul. You thought you were getting the hookup with the drug dealer. And the high felt good, and you realize it was all about the funnel to hook you even deeper. It was a broken relationship. It started as fun, but now it ends in chains. It gives, but it keeps you coming back emptier and emptier and emptier and emptier and emptier until you are a shell. And what is it in our life that knows that that void is there? What is it in our life that knows that there's that hollowness in our life, but we continue to entertain it in our home? And then we come into these places and we feel temporarily relief, but we still keep that other love in our lives. See, tonight, this series, this fall, I want you to fall so out of love with the ways of the world. I want you to look at pornography and get to a place where it is not a temptation anymore, because you see what that is. What you offer me is not worth it. I want you to see that substance that you just say you're not addicted, but you can't stop. I want you to look at it and say, I'm never touching you again. You ruined my dad's life. You ruined my grandfather's life. You ruined my great-grandfather's life, and not with me. You want to look at your phone and go, you know what? I'm going to be a present father, so I want to learn how to be present right now. You want to look at the ways of the world, which just says pick your own thing, and just go, you know what? It feels good to be my own God. Well, if you're gonna be your own God, you better take responsibility for where your life ends up. If you're gonna be your own God, don't come crying back to God saying, God, why did you do this to me? You were the God. You did it. I was the God. I did it. God was nowhere to be seen. That's the problem. See, when you start seeing the angel of light and you look a little closer and you start seeing those horns, you start seeing the disdain in the eyes, you start experiencing the fallout of sin and the brokenness of the world's way and the brokenness of the world's truth and the brokenness of the life it's offering you, all of a sudden something goes, I don't want that. And then you turn and you see Jesus and you see his way and you see his truth and you see his life and it's upside down. You don't think, it's like that's not even barely attractive, but you begin to step into it and it begins to produce life. I'm telling you, dude, passion is the resort. Think about the world. It's doing everything, man. Every ad, millions of dollars, every AI algorithm to hack your brain, to hack your life, to hack your soul. But Jesus is just not a flashy advertiser. It's crazy that the source of this life, you know, the pinnacle of this life, if you were walking next to an empty dirt road outside of the cities of Jerusalem, you'd walk by and you'd see three crosses. You'd see like a small crowd gathered around. Maybe one or two people for the guy on the left and one or two people on the guy on the right. And there's a few down there in the middle. And there's like a crying mother for this man that's in the middle. And you're kind of looking there and you're like, man, watching the life drain out of this man. You see this little sign above it says King of the Jews. And he's bleeding to death and he's mangled and you can't recognize him, but you're kind of looking close and you're like, I think that was the miracle worker. I think that that was the guy that was teaching. I think that that was the moral teacher. I think that that was the prophet guy that everyone was coming out to see. I think that was the guy who was delivering demons out of people. Was that the guy who said that he was the way, the truth, and the life? You walk back to your house and you lay in your bed that night and you're like, man, another good guy, I guess. Crushed under Roman power. And of course, the religious leaders are involved again. All those guys want is power. Next morning, you get up. City's quiet. Another day goes by. Another day goes by. And all of a sudden, you start hearing these weird rumors. This Jesus guy is apparently back alive. The Romans are scrambling for a PR campaign. The religious Pharisees are trying to figure out how to cover it up and say it's not real. Disciples are running around. He's apparently appearing to hundreds of people. The guys that we used to follow and were not sitting at the foot of the cross are back. Now they're dying for him. See, it all of a sudden begs the question, how could a death and a resurrection be more attractive than what this generation has to offer you in all of his glory? How could Jesus stand on the top of a mountain overlooking civilization and the Satan shows every empire, all the glories, everything the world could offer? And Jesus says, I don't want any of it and I don't want you. I want the cross. How could a man choose to die outside of a city in obscurity on a dirty, dusty road alongside criminals and say, this is the picture I want to leave of what the way and the truth and the life looks like? Because when Jesus hung on that cross, he died for every sin that we wrestle with in our life. What's so crazy is he died knowing that you would have him in your life, but you would still wrestle with other things on the side. He died for you when you weren't even a faithful lover. He died for you when you weren't even a faithful friend. And he lived a perfect life, and he did it saying, I'm inviting you to trust me. Instagram is not going to die for you. Your favorite influencer is not going to die for you. Your podcaster is not going to die for you. The other gods are not going to die for you. But Jesus, God himself, came as a man. He He died on that cross saying, I am so passionate that even though you're not looking for me, I'm looking for you. Even though your love is mixed up, I'm willing to take you and I'm gonna adopt you. I'm gonna make you my own. I'm gonna give you the fullness of my love. I'm gonna hold nothing back. You're gonna have everything. See, when you begin to see that Jesus, everything begins to change. See, the way of Jesus is a surrender of the flesh. It's crucifying our desires. This idea of putting these old things to death. The lust of the eyes, we're not worried about this life mainly. We're worried about eternity. I'm fixed on the unseen. Yes, money's important. Yes, job, career, love it all. Where you're gonna live, who you're gonna marry, all important. But you know what's so much more epic? Character, virtue, intimacy with God, connection with God. That unrestrained connection with God. It's the unseen things in life that matter more than everything this world has to offer. The pride of life gets replaced with humility in Christ. We don't longer glory in ourselves. We no longer are proud of what we've done. We just go, you know what? I'm broken, man. I now glory in what Jesus has done. I lived my way. I lived my truth and I had my life. And can I tell you, there was nothing to be proud about. I found Jesus and he gave me his way. He gave me his truth and he gave me his life. And now I have everything. This fall, as we jump into this series, every week I want you to see his way. Every week I want you to see his truth. Every week I want you to see the life that God is inviting you to live, to be fully alive in God. It's an invitation that God wants to change your desires. Some of you are not like, Nick, this feels so good. I don't know what to do with these temptations. I don't know what to do with this battle. It starts with authenticity. God loves to work in a broken person's life. Who God can't stand is the self-righteous. Blessed are you if you don't have it all together and you desperately need God. That's who grace is for. Two, God wants you to cooperate with that grace. He's gonna spark a flame in your heart, but he wants you to steward it. He wants you to get in your word. If you don't have a Bible, get on Amazon. Buy one tonight. NIV, ESV, NLT. Buy something with an N in it and just call today. And start reading the book of Matthew. Start reading the book of John. Get on Bible Project. Watch some videos. Start intaking the truth into your life. And ask God more than any of those things. God, help my love love you more than anything else. Help me treasure your word, my connection, my worship, and my following your leadership more than anything else in this life. Can we stand together? I'm gonna ask everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I just feel like there's some people in here tonight that you need to get right with God. You've been living between the world and Jesus. Maybe you've been full on living for the world. That there's brokenness in your life, and tonight, God wants to extend his grace to you. God wants to extend his forgiveness to you. God wants to do a new thing and give you new desires and give you a new love. And if that's you tonight, I want you to start with the craziest act of vulnerability. I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. We'll pray for you first. Jesus, I pray for every person that's been in a wrestle in this room. Between the world, between you, I pray the wrestle would come to a definite end tonight. I'm praying the wrestling match would be over, and I'm praying that Jesus would take the center of their life, that Jesus, you would give them new desires and a new love. God, I pray against the enemy wanting to blind eyes. I pray against pride. I pray against everything that's just stopping us from vulnerability, from fear and the insecurity of man. God, we ask that in this place, you would do something new inside all of us. So if tonight you know that you've been serving two masters, and tonight you just need to come home to Jesus and say, Jesus, I got all this brokenness, but I do know this. I want you to be my master. I want you to raise your hand boldly on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hands to Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here's what I want to do. I want to do something so vulnerable. I want to do something so authentic, but all you're going to feel is the love of this room. You're not going to be judged. Dude, I ain't judging you because I don't want you to understand what you could be judging me for. I want to give out mercy because there's a lot of my life I need mercy. But if you raise your hand, would you be so kind and come up right here? I want you to get prayer tonight. I want some circuit riders to walk with you for a moment and to pray with you and just to have a definitive moment of saying, what are you walking away with? I want you to tell someone. I want you to take a step of boldness. So many hands went up. Would you just come out of your seat, take the bold step of just saying, you know what? I'm not afraid of my relationship with God being public. I want you just to come walk right over here. And Josh and Ian, could you come join me down here? And then anyone who comes down, just come out of your seat. Just come out of your seat. Come on down. We want to pray for you. Just don't be afraid. Come on. Can we lift a cheer in this place? Can we lift some love in this place? Can we lift some joy in this place? Just come out of your seat. Come out of your seat. So thankful you're making this step with Jesus tonight. Here's what I want to do. I want you to receive prayer, and I want you to have a moment of going, what is that other master you're walking away with? I want you to exercise some authenticity. Ian, can you lead with Josh here? Everybody outside, we're going to pair you guys up in some groups, some guys with guys and girls with girls, and make sure you all get prayer. So Ian, can you lead them out? Can we give a massive round of applause? If you know you need it, man, join the love train right here. God wants to meet you in a profound way. There's no shame. We've all been there. God wants to do something so profound in your life. Just walk right out these doors. If there's a few more circuit riders, I want to make sure everybody needs some prayer. So if you're on circuit rider staff, would you make yourself available until we know that everyone is receiving some prayer tonight? Come on, don't you love when people find the way, the truth, and the life? The rest of us, here's our prayer. God, make the passion real. Jesus, make the passion real. Would you lift your arms to Jesus for a moment? Would you lift your hands to heaven all across this place? And here's what I want to do. I want to release a passionate plea to Jesus. Maybe you've never prayed out loud before. Maybe you've never been around a culture where you've ever prayed a passionate prayer. I don't know what your personality is like, but if we're going to ask for passion, let's ask for some passion. We want the fear of man, the insecurity of man to be drained out of our body. And we want passion for Jesus to exude so naturally. And I want you to repeat after me. I want you to pray with the same level of passion I'm praying with. Are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Here we go. Say, Jesus, I ask, would you open up passion in my soul? Jesus, would you stir my love for you? Would you pour out your grace, your way, your truth, and your life on me? Open my eyes to see you.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.